Grab your Bibles and go to the book of Romans with me. Romans chapter number 8. It is always neat to see how God ties in different songs with the messages as He sees fit. And there's a phrase in that song, "He lets me be an heir of royalty." We're going to be talking about that this morning. Romans chapter number 8, when you get there, go ahead and stand with me. The title of this morning's message is A Child by Adoption. A Child by Adoption. We're going to be looking at the fact that those of us that are born again, children of God, and you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, that you've been adopted into the family of God. And we're going to look at a beautiful picture of adoption in the Old Testament, see some truths that we can apply to our lives as well. Romans chapter number 8. If you'll look with me at verse number 15. Here the Bible says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." But, again, when you see the word but is a conjunction that shows an opposite. So here, "but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So here Paul's telling the church at Rome that you've not received the spirit of bondage, meaning that you're not supposed to go back to your sin. You're not supposed to be bound by the things in your life anymore, but rather God's given you some freedom and God has given you the spirit of adoption. And then we can cry out this phrase, "Abba, Father," which literally means Daddy, Father. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. We thank you that we can call you our Heavenly Father. We thank you that we can come to you and call you Daddy. Lord, there are those in the world today who don't have a father. They may not even have a father figure. Their father may have passed on. But Lord, you have supplied a way to fill that position of fathership. Lord, I'm glad that we can call you our Father today. We can come to you and we know that you're going to take care of things because of the relationships that are had. I pray that you'd help us to understand this truth. Help us to see how we can apply it to our lives. Teach us your word. But also, Lord, help us as we look at this character in the Old Testament who was adopted into a new family, who was given things that he never should have had, all because somebody cared and loved. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to do the same. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. We ask these things in your name. We pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated again. Here, we see that we've received, the Bible says, the spirit of adoption. In verse number 23 of Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves." No, that's 23. I'm sorry. Yes, 23. "Grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." So here, the Bible says that we've been given the spirit of adoption, meaning that we've been adopted. Those of us that have trusted Christ as our personal Savior, we have been adopted into the family of God. We've joined a new family, but also we are waiting for the adoption, or we are waiting for God to receive us up into glory one day. And we know that day is going to happen. Go to chapter number 9, the next chapter over, verse number 4. Verse number 4. Well, let's go back in context. Look at verse 1. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promise." The promises. Here, Paul was saying, my heart goes out to the Israelites. They don't know the truth of Jesus Christ. They don't realize, they don't recognize that Jesus Christ has already come as the Messiah. He has already come and he has shed his blood and he had paid sin's penalty and they're waiting for somebody else, but Jesus Christ has already come and they've rejected him. He says, my heart goes out to them. I have a great heaviness. I have continual sorrow. He says, I even wish that I could die and go to hell for them. I wish that I were accursed in verse number 3, he says. But notice what he says in verse 4. He says, these are the Israelites That means they were the chosen by God, whom pertaineth the adoption. They were given a special place in God's heart. And the glory and the covenants, God made promises with them. And the giving of the law. They had the Bible before anybody else had the Bible. Yet they still rejected Jesus Christ. By the way, we live in a day and age in a society today where Americans have full and unadulterated complete access to the Word of God, yet so many of them are rejecting Jesus Christ today. We've been given the Word of God. We've been given the promises of God. We've heard the truths of the Word of God, yet so many people have rejected Jesus Christ and chosen not to receive Him as an adopted father. Over in Ephesians chapter number 1, we're going to continue our study tonight in the book of Ephesians. Well, we studied it, started a study on Wednesday night. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5, it mentions as well about the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself. And so it mentions in several different aspects in the Word of God, it mentions this word adoption. Now, let me give you two aspects we're going to look at on adoption. First, adoption defined, and then we'll look at adoption demonstrated. The Bible states that once we are saved, once you are a born-again child of God, once you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that we are adopted into the family of God. Now, the word adopt is a legal term. It refers to taking ownership or taking possession or making a part of your family someone that once was not. The term adoption literally means or is literally defined as to make as a son. I know there are several in here that have gone through the process, the legal process of adoption. That is not an easy process by any means. But it's a process nonetheless that once somebody is adopted into a family, they have a little bit more of a ownership into the family bloodline than somebody who would be born into the family by blood. Because now not only are they part of the family in a physical manner, but they are part of the family in a legal manner. So they have legally they have more access than somebody who would be blood related because it can be traced by documents and things. But we understand here, once we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that we were adopted into the family of God. The Bible tells us that God the Father gave His only begotten Son. He sacrificed His only Son that was born to Him so that He could make sons and daughters unto Himself by way of adoption, by way of receiving us into His family, accepting us if we would simply accept His own Son, Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible tells us that. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Let me show you this. As well. Galatians chapter 4. Look at verse number 5. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 5. The Bible tells us in verse number 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. But verse 5, why did He send Him? To redeem them that were under the law. Why? That we might receive the adoption of sons. Why did Jesus Christ come to the earth? Why did God the Father send God the Son to die for all of mankind? It was so that He could redeem us or buy us back. The word redeem means to purchase or to purchase again, to buy back. He bought us back. He purchased us with the blood of His own Son, Jesus Christ. Why? So that we can receive the adoption of sons. So that we can receive a provision that He has made for us. This morning we are able to say, those of us that have trusted Christ as our personal Savior, whether you've been saved for a short period of time or for a long period of time, it does not matter. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you can say along with myself that we are adopted children of God. That we have been adopted and we have been brought into the family of God. Now, there are some things that we have a right to as a child by adoption, just like a child that would be physically adopted by somebody. According to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, we won't take time to go to all these places, but you can go there and look at them yourself. Write it down, look it up later. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible tells us that because of our adoption into the family of God, that we have the right to the name of our Heavenly Father. When somebody is adopted into a family, they have the right to take that new last name.
from the one that has adopted them. And so when we have been adopted by our Heavenly Father, we have been given a name that we can now carry and tell others that we are a child of God. We know that name. That title is a name, Christian. That we are a child of God, a Christian, a Christ-like one. And we've been given a name of our Father. But also according to Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 20, not only do we have the right to the name of our Father, but also we have the right to the citizenship that our Father has. You see, when somebody here in America is adopted by an American family, they are automatically made a citizen of that same country because the family is a citizen of that country. Listen, when you were adopted into the family of God, God said by way of proxy and by way of adoption that you've been adopted as a citizen of heaven. And God has made you a citizen of heavenly places according to Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 20. So our citizenship has changed as well. This world is not my home. We sing it. It's in your hymn book, hymn number 485. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Praise God. We don't have to settle for anything here on earth. Understand that for the child of God here on earth, this is the worst it's ever going to get for us. Amen. It only gets better from here. And we're looking forward to that citizenship in heaven one day. Praise God. But not only do we have the right to the name of our Father, not only do we have the right to the citizenship of our Father, but according to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 5, the child who is adopted also has a right to inherit the property of his father. And so we have a right to an inheritance that we otherwise would not have had. And we can inherit things from our Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us time and time again that the Word of God tells us that God daily loadeth us with benefits. He's constantly giving us blessings. He's constantly giving us different things. There are things that we now have access to that if we were not a child of God, we would not have access to. That ought to get you excited this morning. That as a child of God, you have a right to some things that God has given you today. We understand that we are not the only begotten of the Father. We are children by adoption. But regardless, even if you're an adopted child or you're a birth child, a child is still a child nonetheless. Amen. I know there's some that have gone in here, and I'll not call out any names just by way of anonymity. But there are those that are in here that have gone through the process of adoption. And I guarantee you, those that have gone through that process of adoption, they don't look at those children as any different than their own blood children. Why? Because they've taken ownership of them. They've made them their own. And when God looks at us, He looks at us as a child of His. Amen. When God looks at us, He doesn't look at us as a second-rate citizen. When God looks at us, He doesn't look at us as a consolation prize. When God looks at us, all He sees is the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He sees His purchased price, His purchased possession. As a matter of fact, He sees a prized possession. There's a song that the young girls sing, "He loves me like I was His only child." And you understand this morning that God loves you more than anything else in this world. God loved you so much that He sacrificed His only Son for you. Why? Because He didn't want to be content with just having one child. He wanted many children. Amen. The Bible calls Jesus Christ the firstborn among many brethren. And how did He have brothers and sisters? He had it by way of His death and His sacrifice for all of mankind. We see adoption defined. Go to 2 Samuel, I want to show you with the rest of the time this morning, adoption demonstrated. Here in the Word of God, everything that you have a question about is found in your Bible. We've just got to spend some time looking at it, spend some time researching it, spend some time studying it. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's no new thing under the sun. So there's nothing new that you're ever going to find in this world today, and anything that's happening today has happened before. We just got to be able to cut through some of the haziness and understand it. But we see adoption demonstrated here in the Old Testament. We're going to read some verses. We'll give you the context of what's going on here. But we see King David take the opportunity to show some love and some kindness to his friend Jonathan and his lineage. Jonathan had passed away. And David wanted to show kindness to Jonathan's family because Jonathan had showed such great kindness to him. Jonathan, for those of you that don't know, Saul was the first king of Israel. And he was the king that Israel had chosen. But David was the second king of Israel, and David was the king that God had chosen. David was the king after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. He was the one that was set aside to be the king, to lead the children of Israel to follow after God. Jonathan was the son of Saul. And according to what everybody else thought, Jonathan would be the one who would be heir to the throne. Jonathan didn't want the throne. Jonathan was going to serve alongside David because he knew that David was the chosen of God. There was a time in Saul's kingship where Saul tried to kill David. As a matter of fact, Saul tried to kill his son Jonathan because he protected David. But here, Saul had passed off the scene. Jonathan had passed off the scene. All of Saul's sons had passed off the scene. They had all been killed in battle. And David comes to a point in his life where some things had kind of calmed down. And he wanted to show kindness to Jonathan's family. 2 Samuel chapter 9 is where you should be. Look at verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king had commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." This looks like adoption to me. Verse 12, "And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet." Here we see that adoption is demonstrated here in this passage. Give you a little bit of story as to who Mephibosheth is. If you'll go back to chapter number 4 in 2 Samuel, chapter number 4, you'll find that Mephibosheth was a young boy. He was the son of Jonathan, again, who's the son of Saul. So he'd be Saul's grandchild. There was a time here where there was a battle in the land. There was a time where Mephibosheth was taken up and carried away. Notice in chapter 4, 2 Samuel chapter 4, look at verse 1. I'll give you some context. "And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Baanah, and the name of the other was Rechab. The sons of Rimmon, Abaroth, a Berothite of the children of Benjamin, for Beroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Berothites fled to Gittaim and were sojourners there until this day. And Jonathan, Saul's son," here we go,
had a son that was lame of his feet. Now it tells the story. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Here we see the story. You can go back to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. We see the story of Mephibosheth here. He was Saul's grandson. He was Jonathan's son. He was a young man who David wanted to try to show some kind of kindness to. He was a man that nobody wanted anything to do with, really. They had just forgotten about him. He was one of Jonathan's sons. Yes, he was heir. He was a lineage of a previous king. Yes, but he was somebody who was forgotten about because he was somebody who was lame in his feet. You'll notice that he was lame from a fall. He was lame from a fall that he could not control. Now, just like all of us, we have been crippled by a fall in our lives, amen? We've all been crippled by a fall that was completely out of our control. We were born into this world as sinners, amen? And because of our sin, we've all made mistakes in our lives. And we've all been crippled by this thing that we call sin. And here Mephibosheth was crippled by a fall. And he was forgotten about. Nobody showed any kindness to him. Nobody showed any care to him. Nobody showed any concern to him. And then at one day, David wanted to show some care and some concern to somebody that was of Jonathan's lineage. He wanted to show some concern. He didn't know if anybody was still alive. But he wanted to reach out and try to be a blessing to somebody because he was remembering. He was probably going through a time in his life where he was reminiscing all that Jonathan had done for him. We all go through periods of that in our lives where we think about all the good things that somebody's done for us and we want to try to pay it forward or pay it back on what others have done for us. Here we know that Mephibosheth was crippled by a fall. David didn't even know who Mephibosheth was at this time. But you'll notice some things about this. And this is where we see adoption being demonstrated. And we can make some personal applications in our lives as well. So let me give you the story here. In chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, you'll find that the king sought out Mephibosheth. Once he found out that Mephibosheth was alive, once he found out there was somebody of the lineage of Jonathan, he wanted to do something for him. He had heard up front that he was somebody who was lame from his feet. In verse number 3, it says that. One of the first things that the people had told David was, "This is a young man, but he's lame. David, there's nothing he can do for you." Well, they mistook what David wanted to do. David wasn't looking for somebody to do something for him. Are you listening? He was looking to do something for somebody else. And here when they approached David, they said, "This is Mephibosheth and he's crippled. He can't do anything for you." David said, as the king, he said, "Go and take care of it anyway. Go and bring him to me anyway." Here the king had sought out Mephibosheth. And understand this morning here, when you were dead in your trespasses and sin, when I was dead in my trespasses and sin, it wasn't me that came looking for Jesus. It was Jesus that came looking for me. And in your life, it was Jesus that came looking for you as well. Here the king sought out Mephibosheth. He wanted to show kindness to him. And when you were far away from Jesus Christ, and when you were living in your sin, and when you were doing your own thing, and you were living it up in the world, you weren't the one that was seeking after Jesus. He was the one that was seeking after you. There's an old phrase I heard a preacher say, and I kind of like what he said. He said that somebody came up to him when he had gotten saved and said, "I heard you found the Lord." He said, "No, I wasn't lost. He wasn't lost. I was the one who was lost. He found me." And that's the truth of it all. I wasn't the one that found God. God was the one who found me. Amen. I remember the pit that he digged me out of. But here we'll find in verses 1 through 4 that the king asks about Mephibosheth and he seeks after Mephibosheth. As a matter of fact, in verse 4, the king said unto him, as soon as he heard about him, he said, "Where is he?" He wanted to do something. He wanted to reach out. He wanted to go beyond and he wanted to seek after him. I've always wondered, Brother Throw, here in the beginning, the servants try to talk him out of it. But later on, the servants were excited to go and get him. I always wonder what changed in their perspective. I wonder if they began to reminisce, Brother Nick, about when they were brought into David's fold. I wonder if they began to remember what they used to be. And here they weren't worried about what he didn't have to offer, but rather now they were concerned with what the king had to offer. You see, sometimes we begin to look at certain people and we don't see what God can do with them or what God can do through them. And we don't always have the kind of excitement that we need to have when we're sharing the good gospel of Jesus Christ. But the reality is we need to go back to the day that we got saved. And we need to go back to where God saved us from. And we need to remember how good it was. And when we go and share that with somebody else, it'll cause us to get excited about sharing His grace with others and sharing His kindness with others. If we can just bask and reminisce in the kindness that God has shown us this morning. We see here that the king sought out Mephibosheth. But in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." He was several towns away. Not only did the king seek after Mephibosheth, but I want you to notice also that the king went out of his way to go and get Mephibosheth. Not only was he content with he wasn't just content with finding out where he was and delivering something to him. No. He went out of his way for them to go and to get him and to bring him to him. You see, David wasn't just trying to lavish him with gifts and with presents. David wanted to make a complete difference in his life. And you see, God wasn't just interested in giving you blessings day in and day out. God wanted to build a relationship with you, which is why He drew you to Himself. Here the king goes out of his way to get Mephibosheth. Look at verse number 5. "Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar." I want you to notice, not only does the king seek after Mephibosheth, not only does the king go out of his way to go and get Mephibosheth, but I want you to notice that the king makes all the provisions for the trip. I know many of you, you make a trip. You ladies are going to be making a trip here to Mississippi later this week. I know my family, anytime we make a trip, we always get together provisions for the trip. You pack your bags. You've got to pack a snack bag, amen? You've got to have drinks and candy, right? Got to pack a snack bag. And so you got to have all these different things. What are they? They're provisions for the trip. You got to make sure that things are provided for. Make sure that things are taken care of. Here, the king, he spared no expense to go and to get Mephibosheth. He made all the provision. You understand this morning that Jesus Christ made all the provisions for your trip as well? He made all the provisions for your trip. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Ephesians 2:8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, I didn't do anything to get on the trip. I didn't do anything to provide for the trip. The way the provision for the trip was made solely by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The provisions were made by Him. Here the king had made the provisions to go and to get Mephibosheth. He had gone out of his way, yes. He had sacrificed and made the provisions for the trip. He knew that Mephibosheth could do nothing for him. He knew that he could not change the fact that Mephibosheth was lame and couldn't walk. But he still wanted to provide. He still wanted to reach him. You know, we need to get back to having an honest humility about ourselves. Understand that we have absolutely nothing to offer Jesus Christ. We have absolutely nothing to offer God. It was only by His good grace that we're saved this morning. He didn't save us because of who we are. He didn't save us so that He could put a notch in His belt, so that He could have somebody that had clout or had some kind of high esteem about themselves. God didn't save us because we were a star. God saved us because He wanted to use us and He wanted to make a difference in our lives, not because of what we brought to the table. You see, far too often, Brother Roberto, we only invest in people that benefit us. That's how selfish we are as humans. We only do things for people that will reciprocate that and do things back for us. Well, if I do this for them, then they'll put me in their will. If I do this, I got to be good to so-and-so. I don't want to be cut out of the family. We do things so that we can get things from people. When the reality, God did for us knowing that we had absolutely nothing to offer Him. That's true love. And those of you that have gone through the process of adoption, you've gone through the process of adoption because you were trying to love somebody. You did for them even though they could never do anything for you. Because that's true love. And we see that here in this passage. David was doing something for Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth could never pay this back. Mephibosheth could never show his appreciation. And we too are the same way. We could never pay back all that God has done for us. We can try, but we can never fully pay everything back. The king made all the provision for the trip. Look at verse number 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, he answered, behold, thy servant. I want you to notice Mephibosheth's response. Mephibosheth was a cripple. Are you listening? Mephibosheth was a cripple. But the Bible says that he fell on his face before the king. He wasn't worried about whether or not he could get back up, Brother Brad. He knew his place before the king because of the appreciation that he had. You see, when you came to Jesus Christ, you've got to get over yourself. You've got to get over all the restrictions in your life. You've got to get over the excuses of, but I'm a cripple, but I can't do this. It doesn't matter what you can and cannot do. You've got to get over all of that and trust fully in the king. You see, there are those today who won't get saved because they're trusting in certain things. They're trusting in their knowledge. They're trusting in their works. You see, Mephibosheth, I don't see anywhere here where he was trusting in anything at all. As a matter of fact, he reverenced himself. He fell on his face. You can say that he dropped out of his chair completely. With no reserve. Full and complete humility. By the way, that's the only way you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is in full humbleness and humility. It's not God save me because I have something to offer you. No, we have nothing to offer our Heavenly Father. We are trusting in Him and Him alone. Not of works, lest any man should boast. His response was one of humility. He fell on his face. He did reverence. The king begins to speak to him. He says, behold, thy servant. By the way, I remember the day that I got saved. The Holy Spirit of God was speaking to my heart. And I was begging for forgiveness. I was begging for Him to save me. I remember that. Here, Mephibosheth showed some reverence. By the way, you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by putting your faith and trust in Him and quit trusting in self. Here we see Mephibosheth's response. I want you to notice verses 7 through 9 though. Here, Mephibosheth, when he comes to the king, when he humbles himself before the king, notice what the king does. And David said unto him, verse 7, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. I want you to notice here that the king restored everything that was lost to Mephibosheth. You see, when Mephibosheth humbled himself before the king restored everything that he had lost before. Listen. Here's the application. Every one of us had lost something. in our lives. Because of the fall, because of sin, we have lost fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because of our sin, we have lost a following of Jesus Christ. But understand that when we went to Him and showed reverence, when we called upon the King for salvation, the Bible says He restored it to us. What did He restore? He restored fellowship. He restored citizenship. He gave us a home in heaven. Amen. He restored us a lineage that was lost. Here, Mephibosheth was restored all the kingdom heir that Saul had given, that should have been attributed to him already. It was restored to him because of his reverence to the king. You understand that there's some heirship that gets restored to you when you show some reverence to the Heavenly Father. When you take the time and you trust in Jesus Christ for salvation and quit trusting in self, there's an inheritance that you begin to get. There's some restoration that has taken place. Here, he says, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. Brother Yambo is hit with a thought. I wonder, here the king showed kindness to Mephibosheth because of Jonathan's relationship with him. Here's the thought I was hit with. I wonder whose relationship with God made the impact for God to show some kindness in our lives. Now don't miss that when I said that, okay? Think about this. Somebody spent time praying for you before you got saved. You weren't born saved. Somebody cared about you. Somebody invested in you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody went out of their way to share the gospel message with you. I wonder how many of us in our lives the king showed kindness to because of somebody else. How many of us, when we got saved, it was an answer to prayer of somebody that had prayed for years for a family member or a loved one to get saved. Had prayed for years for a friend of theirs to get saved. And because of their relentless prayers, the king was able to show kindness. Are you listening? We think too highly of ourselves sometimes. And the reality is, I deserve absolutely nothing that God gives me. And the only reason that God is showing me any kind of kindness is because somebody loved me and cared for me and prayed for me. Here, the king showed Mephibosheth kindness. Why? Because Jonathan loved David. And he wanted to show the kindness because of the love that was shown to him. Now, I wonder how many times in our lives God shows us kindness and God shows us favor because somebody had a relationship with God and prayed for us. Now, think about that. By the way, you begin to dwell on that a little bit and it's going to cause you to pray for other people. It's going to cause you to have a genuine love and concern for others in your life. Here, he says, I will show thee kindness. Why? For Jonathan, thy father's sake. I'm going to show you kindness because I know what your daddy did for me. Listen, there are people in my life that I can show kindness to because of the kindness that their family and their friends have shown toward me. I can show kindness to others because I had a youth director who went out of his way to share the gospel message with me. I can show kindness to others because I had a bus captain and a family that went out of their way to make sure that I was in church when the church doors were open. I can take that kindness and show it to someone else. We can take the kindness that we've been given and we can take and turn and give it to others and pay it forward in our Christian lives. Here, David decided to show some kindness because somebody has shown him kindness. And then notice what he says, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Here he said, not only am I going to show you kindness, but I'm going to restore some things. You see, not only did God show you kindness when He saved you, but God restored fellowship with you. God restored a relationship with you. God restored a heavenly home for you. That's what He did. For those of us that have trusted Him for salvation. Also notice in verse number 7, these are all provisions that He's made. He says, thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. You know, every day I can come to the Word of God and I can eat fresh bread at His table continually. Every day. The only reason I get to do that is because I'm a child by adoption.
Growing up in our home, we had, my dad worked at a retail store, and my mom worked at a retail store as well. She worked days, my dad worked nights. Growing up, we had a regular refrigerator, and like some of you even in your homes, we had more than one refrigerator in the house. Many of you know what I'm talking about, amen. We had an upright freezer. And my dad, he would, anytime there was sales that was going on, he was one of the first ones because he was a manager, so he knew about the stuff. So he would get things stocked up on regularly. I was telling my wife about this. One of the things he would stock up on frequently, it probably is the way is the reason why I am the way I am today. My dad would stock up on ice cream. Yes. We had a whole freezer just for ice cream. Praise God. Yeah. One of the things, it was Bluebell ice cream too. The good stuff, amen. He would get the specialty flavors when they would go on sale. I had all I could ever ask for, chocolate-covered cherry. You ever had chocolate-covered cherry ice cream? Oh, praise God, you've not lived. It's cherry ice cream with little chocolate-covered cherry, little blocks of chocolates inside. You know, you'll break your tooth on because they're ice cold and they hurt. Yeah. Why would they put rocks inside of chocolate? I don't know. But they do. We would get the fudge brownie kind of ice cream. My dad liked the pecans and praline, and he liked the Rocky Road. And my mom liked the cookies and cream, and my sister liked the mint chocolate. I don't know why anybody likes mint chocolate chip, but they did. My wife likes mint chocolate chip, too. Much communist ice cream, amen, Brother Brandon. It's not normal. But we'd get all these different ice cream. One of the privileges that I had as his son, as his child, is I can go into the kitchen at any time, Brother Nick, open up that freezer and get ice cream. As long as it wasn't supper time. Mom made sure we ate supper too. Amen. But any other time, I was able to go in and get that. It was a privilege, a luxury that I had. You had the same luxury in your home. You can go and get whatever you want, whenever you want. Anybody's ever spent any time at Brother Miss Thoreau's house? They've got food everywhere in their house. On the counter, you get free access, free reign to any of it, right? You come to my house, there's candy anywhere. You don't have free access and free reign to that. But it's there. No, we share sometimes. But we have all these different things. You have access to this stuff. Think about this. As a child of God, we have access to eat at His table continually. So let me ask you, as a child of God, why do we only eat on Sundays and Wednesdays? We can eat anytime we want to. We can eat at the table continually. We can eat bread. That's what it says. I shall eat bread at my table continually. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. So why is it we only eat when somebody feeds us at church? Are you listening? We can eat at home, we can eat when we read our Bibles, but we choose to neglect the feeding time. We've been adopted into His family. As a child by adoption, we don't deserve all these privileges, but nonetheless we have them anyway. And if we have the privileges, then we need to take advantage of the privileges, not take them for granted. And what we often do, Brother Nick, we take them for granted. Well, it's always going to be there. It's always going to be there till it's not. The reality is, yes, it's always going to be there until one day when it's not. And we're not there. And I wonder how much we miss out on. Here, the king had restored everything that was lost. He could eat at his table continually. Notice his response was still one of humility. He says, what is thy servant
verse 8, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am. He says, listen, I'm worthless. In this society, they didn't have medicine like we have today. They didn't have wheelchairs like we have today. They didn't have access to treatments like we have today. He's literally saying, I would be left for dead were it not the love that you've shown for me. Now, you ever get in that point in your life where you realize that were it not for the love that God has shown for you, you'd be dead today? We'd all be dead were it not for the love that God's shown to us. That's true humility. By the way, you can't fake that kind of humility. Here. The king, he says unto the servant, he said, I've given to thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Notice verses 10 and 11. It just gets better. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. He says, now listen, I've provided everything. Now this is what I need you to do. I need you to go and work the fields. Because he can't. But he still has access to it all. And I need you to go and work the fields for him. He says, thou shalt bring in the fruits. Why? That thy master's son may have food to eat. Here, everything was provided for him. He didn't have to lift a finger. You understand that when you got up this morning, you didn't have to lift a finger. God gave you breath. That was provided for you because God loves you. You didn't have to lift a finger. God gave you mercy. You understand that? You didn't have to till the land for that. You were given the fruit of that because God loves you this morning. God gave you grace. God gave you another day of life. Notice, he says, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Here, Brother Roberto, he was able to eat at the king's table. The Bible says he was there as one of the king's sons. You see, when it was time to eat and it was time to fellowship, they would come to the table and somebody would bring in Mephibosheth and they would set him down on the seat and they would scoot him up to the table. And I would think that this table would be like most tables would be as far as royalty is concerned. They've got a beautiful white linen cloth over the table. They've got nice decorations that are there. And while he's sitting there at the table, you cannot see the fact that his legs were lame. He looked just like one of the other sons. You see, when you sit at the table and you're eating with your heavenly Father, God doesn't see your insecurities. God doesn't see your insufficiencies. Because they're all covered up. Amen. And you're able to sit there and eat as one of the sons. Not because of anything you are, but because of the love that He's shown to us. Here, Mephibosheth was able to eat at the table. Nobody brought up the fact that he was a cripple. Nobody brought up the fact that he was an invalid. Nobody brought up the fact that he could not get there on his own. As a matter of fact, everybody knew that. You see, when you're sitting there and you're eating at the king's table and you're able to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't have to bring up everybody else's insecurities. And you don't have to bring up where everybody else came from. We all know. The reality is none of us deserve to be at the table, but we're there anyway. Amen. The reality is you don't have to bring up your past in order to feel worthy because it's not about your past. It's about the presence of the king at the table. And because he's sitting there at the table, we're able to fellowship with him. Here, the king took care of Mephibosheth's need, and Mephibosheth got to sit at the table with the whole family. And he was as one of the king's sons. They didn't ask him how he got there. As a matter of fact, this is my opinion for what it's worth. I don't think they even brought up his fall and the fact that he was crippled. I think they were just glad to have someone else at the table. Now listen, When it comes to sharing the good grace of God with other people in your lives, you don't have to constantly bring up people's past to remind them of what God saved them from. They know. You ought to just be glad that we get to sit at the table and eat together. I'm just glad that I get a seat at the table. I can sit up here and I can tell you all the stories of what I used to be and how I used to live. But guess what? None of that matters anymore. All that matters is that I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. That's all that matters. How sinful you once were. We don't need to relish in all that. We can relish in the good grace of God, though. We can rejoice in His provision. And now we're able to be a son of the King. Notice verses 12 and 13. Right after this, Mephibosheth was lame. He'd be classified as an invalid by some. But notice verse 12. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. You know what this tells me? That once the king showed him some love and some care and some concern, that he became fruitful. You see, God's will for us is not just to be saved and sit in fellowship at the table, but it's to be fruitful and bring others to the table as well. Are you listening? I wonder how many people have come to the good grace of God, have heard of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of us. How many have we shared God's grace with? Here Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. And then it says, and was lame in both his feet. He never forgot where he came from. But listen, his past didn't hinder his future. I believe every one of us, we should never forget what God saved us from. But listen, don't listen to the devil this morning, and don't let your past hinder your future work for God. We can sit and listen to the devil, and we can listen to how bad we were, and we can listen to all the things that we don't deserve, and we can tell the devil, yeah, you're exactly right. I don't deserve any of that. But the reality is, I don't have to listen to that anymore either. Because we've been chosen to be children of God. And God's given us a new future. So you can say it this way. God's given us a new lease on life. Amen. He's given us a new opportunity. A second chance. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You've never received the good grace of God. Much like Mephibosheth, all you've got to do is humble yourself before God. That's all you got to do. The king has made all the provision. The sacrifice has been made. The road has been paved. The blood has been shed. All you got to do is receive the gift. That's all you got to do. And then God will change your life forever. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning. Heads bowed with eyes closed this morning. Here we see a child by adoption. But listen, God's still in the saving business and God wants to save you this morning. With heads bowed with eyes closed, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. Heads bowed with eyes closed, if you were to die this morning, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Or do you have some doubt about that? So Brother Terry, I just don't know. I'd like to be in the family of God, but I just don't know. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Is there anybody in here like that? I want to pray for you. I can't make this decision for you. You've got to choose Jesus over self. Is there anybody in here like that? I just don't know. Just don't know. All right, I don't see any hands. So by the testament of no hands, everyone here saying they know where they're going when they die. Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you say, Brother Terry, God spoke to my heart somewhere in that message? Would you raise your hand? We have hands all over the place. You put your hands down. God bless you for it. Maybe God wants you to share your adoption story with someone else. When's the last time you did that? God wants you to share that with somebody and show somebody else the love that you were shown. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths. Help us to apply them to our lives. Use us, guide us, direct us, please.